Education of our children doesn't begin and end at academia. There is a spiritual responsibility on each parent and teacher to nurture and train a young soul spiritually. This is called Chinuch. Join Rabbi G every Monday at 2 p.m. as he explores education and Chinuch for parents and teachers. Torah isn't education, it's transformation.
We are back, as we do every Monday between 2 to 3, where we discuss education, we discuss life, we discuss different methods of therapy, or anything that we can learn, achieve, grow, in order to be the people we want to be, living in the world we want to live in. And how do we influence ourselves, our families, our communities, and everybody around us, and mainly ourselves, probably, to be the people we want to be. And with the ethics we want to be, with the knowledge we want to be, and what can we do to be in that place. Although we don't discuss many Jewish topics per se in the show, but I am a rabbi, and I cannot resist the show, the beginning of the week, that will end in the day of Pesach. We will bring that into discussion, and we're going to be discussing it from two different angles today, understanding about Pesach. From one angle, a bit of the concept. We all know that it's the holiday of freedom. We even say in Hebrew that we are B'nai Chorin, yet we also all know that we have 59 of our brothers and sisters that are not in freedom, that are in captivity. How do we live with that? How do we celebrate that? How do we celebrate freedom with remembering? And I can't believe this is already the second year I'm doing this topic. It shouldn't have been. It shouldn't have been the first year, and definitely shouldn't have been the second year. And I hope this is definitely going to be the last year, please God. For this discussion, which will be our first topic today in the show, I have Rabbi Avidan Friedman with me. Rabbi Avidan Friedman is a rabbi and an activist, very passionate about different areas. He's one of the leaders of the Yanshuf organization, as well as being active when it comes to the hostages and giving them a voice and trying to be there. And, you know, let's hear from him straight and go into the discussion. Good afternoon, Rabbi Avidan. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Shalom. Good to be with you.
Okay, for our listeners, just a bit about you. Just introduce you, what you do, your areas of, as an activist, areas of focus, just in a sentence.
Sure, I am an Olé. I grew up in Canada and then in the United States, and came to Israel about 15 years ago to be an educator, straight as an educator and as a rabbi. But the realities around me brought me to activism, from a sense that there are things in Israeli society that I want to be a part of helping to fix and to make better. And so the first major focus of my activism was, as you mentioned, Yanshuf, which is an organization which acts to stop Israeli weapon sales to regimes that use them to violate human rights. And that was a topic that I never knew about and encountered, and decided that because there were no organizations active on it, ultimately that I needed to start an organization and run it in order to try to really make Israel what we aspire for it to be. But in these last 2 years, a year and a half, today we mark a year and a half of war, my activism has shifted to really be focused on the hostages, raising a voice from my background as a rabbi, as a religious activist, on the importance of bringing back all of the hostages. And that has really occupied all of my time and energy and emotions for the last year and a half in a very intensive way.
Emotions is definitely, I'm sure, a huge factor. I have a question that I must ask, but before then, I just want to go off topic for a second, because with the opportunity of speaking to a rabbi who's an educator and also an activist, if I would write the description of an educator and the description of an activist, they would look very similar. What are the differences? And, you know, you're talking about shifting from education to activism, which almost sounds maybe different methods for the same thing. your point of view?
That's a great question. I really always say that my prime mode of activism really is education. I mean, I really believe in education as the deepest form of activism. If I'm going to define activism, it means really just trying to make the world better. It means looking at the world, seeing things that need to be repaired, you know, tikkun olam, need to be fixed, need to be improved, and taking an active role in that. And I do think that education is the deepest, the longest term way of doing that. And for me personally, I just feel like it's the thing that I feel is my own personal shlichut, you know, my own personal mission as I understand it in this world. When I say moving from education to activism, it has been in a more acute way, seeing certain issues which can't, you know, can't wait. You can't wait for long-term solutions. You know, the hostages isn't something that it's not about a long-term solution, although there are long-term issues that are related to it, I think, as far as our moral vision and priorities. There are some very deep issues, but this is a very acute, urgent issue. And I felt the same thing also with arms sales. As far as the arms sales, I really felt like I just couldn't go on another day understanding that this is something going on and saying, well, we will slowly work on it over the next number of generations and generations. It was something that I felt like needed to be dedicated energies towards it in the here and now, in the short term.
So activism would be on a larger scale and much quicker, and education would be more on a individual and deeper connection, but also that will take a time. And when you are with time-consuming situations, then you definitely don't have the space. Very interesting point. I want to ask you, from your journey as an activist for the hostages, you know, one of the first times I've heard your name was probably in relation of a hunger strike, if I'm not mistaken, that you were involved in, or potentially even the leader of it. We're talking about it the days that we were looking at 249 hostages. So it's definitely not in the last few weeks. So quite some time ago. And I'd love to hear about that, but that's really leading me to a point that, you know, we are going to be sitting in a week from now at the Seder, happy with Yom Tov, happy with the celebration of freedom, and happy, yet there are people starving, and we are worried about them. There are brothers and sisters. We are connected to them. How do we live this balance from, you know, you being in very active in that area?
It's a question I'm struggling with. The hunger strike that you mentioned, I started it on day 35 of the war. We're now on day 549. So it was more than 500 days ago. And my feeling then was, I cannot believe that it has been 35 days and we still, at that point, we thought there were 251 hostages. We didn't know of their situation. They hadn't been visited by the Red Cross. Of course, to this day, the hostages have not been visited by the Red Cross. And I was just consumed with a sense of, I can't go on living my life while they are there suffering. I mean, so many people here in Israel were recruited for Miluim and for the army, and they were people who were family members of people who were in the army, or they're people who were more than 100,000 that were removed from their homes, that were exiled from their homes. And I felt like, well, I'm not in the army and I'm still in my home. I live in a frat, and you know, and what am I doing? It can't be that all these people, their lives were so upended, and yet I go and live my life. And so I went for a week, and that was a hunger strike where I spent a week in Hostage Square in Tel Aviv. And my aim, my hope was that for other people also to join me in that attempt. Unfortunately, it wasn't successful in terms of recruiting other people. It was successful in terms of touching a lot of lives, a lot of souls. I think I had a tremendous merit of seeing the people of Israel in their most beautiful coming to Hostage Square and just feeling the solidarity of all of the people of Israel and actually people from all over the world who came to express their support at that time.
What shifted that now, Rabbi, what shifted that now we are kind of in a normality situation, which we really are not, but it seems that, you know, that the attention from the world, although to say about the South African community, so many solidarity trips still going on and still very active there, yet the concept of life is going on is something that we are hearing and seeing more and more coming from Israel. Where would you say the shifts hit in, and where are we, and how do we kind of continue with the new normality and not accept the normality at the same time, and at the same time, you know, worry about our brothers and sisters in captivity?
Right. I don't think, you know, you can point to any particular moment of shift, and I think it varies from person to person and from family to family. But for myself, I'm really, again, because my life in theory could more or less be carrying on as normal, I'm kind of in a constant attempt and battle against normality, you could say. To really not to allow this to be normalized, not to allow this. I mean, I remember the days when we were fighting for individual hostages, whether it was Harya Baumol and Ron Arad, and afterwards Gilad Shalit, and one or two or three people, and now the numbers are just it's unfathomable. So I really work at not normalizing. It's in some ways it very much connects to Passover. You know, I think Passover, Pesach is a holiday where we work not to normalize. And, you know, I often reflect on the fact that you could imagine the holiday of Passover without having a prohibition against chametz, against leavened items and bread. No, there's no reason. It's like, you know, we celebrate Sukkot. We don't burn down our house in order to celebrate Sukkot.
At least try not to.
We build a... We try not to burn down our house before burning our chametz. But you could have the two side by side. So you could have imagined a reality where the Torah comes and says you commemorate the Exodus and you eat all kinds of symbolic foods and you have a Seder. But you still can have your crackers and cookies and bread and all those things side by side. But the Torah doesn't go in that direction. It says that you really need to totally get rid of every ounce of chametz. You can't. So, you know, I really, this year, I kind of resonate with that as a refusal to normalize. There's this thing, and we have to just have it out of our house in order to really commemorate our freedom. And focus on our freedom. We can't have any shred of that, any ounce of that.
Amazing. It's a very interesting angle and point. We do need to take a short ad break. When we come back, I have one or two questions, and we're going to be heading towards the end of this. But just please stay with us for a short ad break. And when we come back, we'll continue this discussion. That is Rabbi Avidan Friedman, an activist rabbi from Israel.
Torah isn't education. It's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back, and I'm here. I had a very interesting discussion, and we're towards the end. We're still with us a bit. Rabbi Avidan Friedman, who's an activist, very active in the area of hostages and other areas of world safety, even, I'd say, as well as him being a rabbi and an educator. And right before the break, Rabbi Avidan spoke about the solidarity and how strong we are with Pesach, of being focused on the matzah and staying with that understanding that life is not normal. It's not just an added part to our holiday, but it's actually a whole different space to be in and a whole different lifestyle that for that 1 week. And I want to mention something that one of the rabbis in the community in South Africa spoke to me the other day, and he was sharing a thought. That part of the thought was, one of the stories in the Haggadah, which is part of the former reading and learning, studying that we do that night of Seder, was about a few rabbis sitting and discussing the freedom of coming out of Egypt in the city of Bnei Brak. Now, if we look historically in that time, the reason they were in Bnei Brak is because it was at the time of the destruction of Jerusalem, during when the major Churban is happening, and the casualties, the pain, the death, everything is at its horrible moments. One of the biggest pain times that the Jewish people went through, which was the destruction of the temple, and when Jews were murdered by the millions and gone all over. And they're sitting and talking about freedom as well, until the morning, till the light comes out, and all the aspects around that. Taking that story from the Haggadah to our days today, Rabbi Evan, I want to ask you, from you, is that something that you would take from those times of balancing the talk about freedom and about the understanding that we were redeemed, and at the same time during very dark times for the Jewish history, potentially part of what we are supposed to be doing today?
Yeah, absolutely. I think as much as Passover is a holiday of freedom, it's also the holiday of hope. And one of the thoughts that I think has been giving me the most strength these days is, I think, how many years Jewish people sat in their Seder in all kinds of situations, many times very, very dark situations and times of oppression and persecution throughout history. So many periods of history that we can think of all over the world, how many times they sat and said next year in Jerusalem, and it didn't happen, and they weren't next year in Jerusalem, and how many thousands of years the Jewish people needed to do that until they were actually able to make it come true. As someone who lives in Israel, it's always, you know, it's funny for me to say next year in Jerusalem, although I say next year in the rebuilt Jerusalem. And again, I think there's a lot to be rebuilt. But the power, the strength of the Jewish people through so many dark ages to say next year in Jerusalem, to be disappointed, and the next year to say it again, and to say it again, and to say it again. And that was the hope. There was, you know, if we hadn't held on to that hope as the Jewish people, there would have been no Zionism. There would have been no Zionist vision. There would have been no return to Zion. And it would have been so easy to lose that hope. There are such good reasons for so many times to lose that hope. So I do think, you know, there's a line that Rachel Goldberg Polin, the mother of Hirsch,
yes,
who was killed in captivity, and she said, "Hope is mandatory." You know, hope.
Amazing.
Hope is not. It's not an option. It's something. You know, it's in Jewish we'd say it's a mitzvah in the sense of not just a good deed, but it's something we. It's not a luxury. It's not. It's something we have to hold on to. It's mandatory.
It's a basic need of survival.
And I'm very much holding on to that.
100%.
Absolutely.
And with those words, I'm going to say to you, although last year, at the end of the interview I had in this, I said to whoever I was speaking then that I hope next year, and clear next year, we won't be talking about the hostages, and it will be something in our past. I will, and yet we are talking about it now. I will still say that again about next year, that please God, that we'll all be redeemed, all be back with us, healthy, safe, whatever we can hope for and whatever we can achieve. And please God, we will be, as you said, in the rebuilt Jerusalem.
You know, definitely. I would say just a little bit more than that. Oh, wait, no.
Yeah, go for it.
Which is that we have a number of days till Passover. And I saw the God's salvation.
You're 100% right.
In the blink of an eye.
100%
so I hope,
right.
I still pray that they should be home, and they can be home by the Pesach Seder.
I agree, and I take that 100%. We definitely should. Rabbi Avidan Friedman, one of the founders of Yanshuf, an activist involved with activists with the hostages, an educator, very passionate person, and you're really doing amazing work. So thank you so much for taking the time for being with us this afternoon. And as you said, wishing all the best for the hostages and for the Jewish nation coming forward. Good afternoon, and thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay, that was Rabbi Avidan Friedman.